Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. Please like, comment, follow, and subscribe, and you can download for free so that you never ever miss an episode of this uplifting, encouraging, inspiring show. Today's episode is a vintage show with Bishop Marvin Sapp, and he's talking about his album at the time, Close. It is from 2018.
Bishop Marvin Sapp, who has his 11th album out. It is called Close, and it's on RCA Inspiration. His current hit right now is Listen, and it's number 5 on the Billboard charts. So, Bishop, before we go into all that industry stuff that we have on you, like you're a recording artist, songwriter, and then also you're a founder and senior pastor of Lighthouse Full Life Center Church in Grand Rapids, and you have a school, so you got multiple things going on here. So how's your family doing?
Everybody's doing good. I call them the rock. My children are doing very well. My son is graduating from Howard in December, university with a degree in communications. Marvin II, Michaela, is entering into her senior year at Alabama A&M, and she's a psychology major. She's ultimately going to get her PsyD. And then my baby girl, Madison, is a sophomore at Alabama A&M as well, and she's going to be a psychiatrist. She's going to medical school. So, you know, my children are doing exceptionally well. They're 24, 21, and 19 now. So I'm actually an empty nester. Everybody's at least 500-600 miles away. So, but they're doing exceptionally well. Marva's graduating again. The girls are both on the dean's list. So I think I did something right.
Yeah, great job. Yes, yes, yes. Because it's been about, what, 8 years since Melinda passed? Something like that?
Yeah, Melinda passed away 8 years and 3 months ago. 8 years, 2 months ago, yeah.
Oh, wow. And so you've been this single dad just handling it all and the recording career and the school and everything. That's amazing. How are you able to do all this?
Well, everything to me is about priority. You know, you prioritize what's most important. So first and foremost, if I'm anything, I'm a father. You know, so I made sure that I, you know, put all of my emphasis and all of my energy into ensuring and making sure that my three children were healthy, you know, emotionally, mentally, and physically. And I just felt like I can have my life later after I make sure that their lives are on course. And then after that, you know, I'm a pastor. I pastor actually two churches, one in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and one in a town that's about 40 miles away called Muskegon, Michigan. There's one church, two locations. And then after that, I'm the recording artist. And then after that is all my other entrepreneurial efforts, from the charter school piece to the daycare to the full service salon to the event center to, you know, writing books, everything else that I'm really more or less passionate about, and really trying to do the very best I can to function in all of the gifts that I feel like, you know, God has given me.
Well, it looks like he's given you about 10 or 20 of them.
I tell people all the time, busy keeps you out of trouble. So that's the reason why I try hard to stay so busy.
Oh, okay. So keeping the mind occupied and keeping busy so you can't get into things you have no business getting into. Okay, I see what you mean.
You see, you understand. See, I didn't have to explain that one. That was a good one. You hit the nail right on the head.
One thing before we get back into the industry stuff, you still have that radio show?
Yep, I do have a radio show. Okay. Radio show. We're in like 30 markets right now.
Okay, so it's syndicated in 30 markets. And where do you tape it at?
I actually tape it in my hometown, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
All right, so how's it going? How's it going? What's the format? It's gospel, but it's is it fun. More traditional? Is it more contemporary?
No, it's a little mixed. It's a little mixed. I make sure that I use a very cross-section of what gospel music is. Sometimes it's traditional music. Sometimes it's very urban. I mean, it just depends on my mood at that particular point in time. But just trying to make sure that we give people a musical message that is encouraging and uplifting. And, you know, sometimes they're listening to it on Sunday mornings as they're preparing to go to church. So, you know, it gives them that little spiritual vitamin that they need in order to have that energy to get dressed and get it moving. You know, sometimes they listen to it on Saturdays while they're cleaning around the house, you know, but I get I mean, it's amazing to me that so many people are enjoying it and that it's really, really growing. So, you know, I'm excited about it. I've been doing it less than a year now. So the fact that we're in 30 different markets is a big thing.
And it's great, too, that you're hitting up the souls in multiple ways. You're doing it digitally, you're doing it radio-wise, and then music, and just running the spectrum of things or getting the word out.
Yep, just trying to be all things to all men. That's what the Bible says. You know, you've got to be all things to all men that you might win some. So I know I'm not going to win them all, but I think that if I do the very best that I can to be everywhere, not only that, but to make sure that the message that I'm trying to convey is crystal clear, I really think that I'm going to position myself and other people so that the rest of their days will be the best of their days.
That's a good segue into my industry questions. So you've been doing this gospel thing for a number of years. Exactly how many years do you think it is? I'm not trying to give up the number.
I have been doing it now professionally. I'm going into my 29th year.
Wow. See, I was going to say 30. I was going to say 30.
Yeah, 30 years total in ministry. I started preaching 30 years ago. And then, like, a year after I started traveling as an evangelist, that's when Fred called. And so I started in commission. It'll be 29 years ago in January.
So when Fred Hammond gave you that call, what was it like? How did you feel?
It's funny. You know, the story is I had just gotten off a plane from San Francisco, California. I was out there preaching. And when the phone rang, I picked up the phone in my apartment. I had a roommate at the time. And he said that his name was Fred Hammond. I said, "You're kidding." He said, "No, this is really Fred." I said, "Give me your number." And he gave me his number, and I called him back. And he told me about the opportunity, possibly, of being in a very prominent group. He didn't tell me the name of the group, but asked me, was I interested? And honestly, at that point in time, I was so focused on traveling and being an evangelist that music had become, like, not anything that I was more or less even remotely interested in anymore. I had already resolved that that I was going to be the preacher teacher that I wanted to be. And I told him, I said, "Well, let me pray about it, because every good decision ain't a God decision." So, you know, we both prayed, and after we kept praying together about it, and he kept calling me, giving me updates, and then he finally told me it was commissioned. You know, I grew up listening to the group, and a lot of people don't know this. Commission started in 1980. And matter of fact, you might be the only person to ever be able to actually write this out. Mm-hmm. But commission started in 1980, but in 1982, they actually did their first concert. And their first concert was done at my home church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Fred Hammond's mother knew my pastor and knew my pastor's family because they were musical. And she picked up the phone and called my pastor and said, "Listen, Bishop," she's calling William, "listen, William, Freddie got this little group. Would you let them come to a concert?" And my pastor, being musical, he said, "Okay, fine, no problem." So commission actually came to Grand Rapids in 1982, and they did a concert at my home church, and this 15-year-old boy opened up for them. And that 15-year-old boy was me.
Wow.
And, yeah, so it's crazy to look at how I was a 15-year-old boy, you know, a 10th grader in high school. You know, I sang while they were in the back getting ready, and then they came out later, and I followed them, I mean, the whole time. Once they started recording and everything in 85, you know, I became a commissioned fan. And then in 1990, when I received a call, you know, I tell people all the time that I was a groupie in the group. You know, I love the group. I love what they were about, their music and everything. So, I mean, you know, it was just different growing up in the church, seeing guys who understood, you know, that you can have swag and still be a Christian.
You don't have to
be a quartet singing, crushed velvet bow tie wearing, Cumberland wearing group member, but that you can wear Miami Vice clothes or jeans or tees and stuff like that. And that was absolutely impressive to me. And I was just thankful that Fred gave me that opportunity later on in life.
While you were growing up, you listened to gospel music, you listened to various kinds of music. Who influenced your style of music?
Honestly, when I was growing up, I grew up in the church, but I have two favorite singers that I listened to, and neither one of them was gospel.
Wow, okay.
I grew up listening to Teddy Pendergrass. You know, Teddy Pendergrass was just amazing to me, how he could command a stage, and he always had that hollering type of scream-at-you kind of voice, and that was me. You know, I was like, yeah, that's me right there. You know, I could do the Teddy Pendergrass thing. But my favorite singer on the planet, and I mean, even to this day, I mean, like, every time I hear him, I go to his concerts, and I freak out. And his name is Peebo Bryson.
Peebo,
while
wow.
Everybody else was listening, Peebo Bryson, while everybody else was listening to the New Edition, I was listening.
Bo Bryson. With him singing, like, yeah, he was singing love songs, right?
Yeah, and for some strange reason, I'm 9, 10, you know, 12, 13, 14, I'm listening to Bo Bryson sing songs like We Don't Have to Talk About Love, and I'm Caught Up in a Crosswinds, and Feel the Fire, and all of these different songs that he sang back in the day. And I think the most impressive thing about him to me was his tone. His tone was so amazing, and the fact that he was an amazing songwriter as well. It just really just, and even to this day, I'm a huge fan of his. He just put out a record just recently, and he actually follows me on Instagram. And I'm like, dang, follows me on Instagram. And my son, he actually went to a Bo Bryson concert recently and took a picture with him.
He God did.
Man, Marvin, you don't know. I'm so jealous of you right now. You just don't know. But yeah, he's my favorite on the planet. Of course, we listen to people like DJ Rogers and the Winans and, you know, those types of individuals as well. But, you know, one of my major influences musically was Teddy Pendergrass.
Was Teddy Pendergrass. Oh, okay. Now,
because Teddy P would holler at you and get your attention. It was just, you know, turn him off. He just do that kind of
thing. Turn him off and you got what I need, you know.
Yeah. See, that kind of stuff, you know. All them great songs. Great. Wake Up Everybody. No More Sleeping in Bed. I mean, just great songs, you know.
Now, speaking of great songs, like fast forward to your music as a worldwide known recording artist, and of the great songs that you've had, you really started making some noise on the outside of the church side of things, or in mainstream music, with Never Would Have Made It, The Best in Me. What's your favorite Marvin Sapp song?
And neither one of them, to be honest with you. My favorite Marvin Sapp song, honestly, is a song called Place of Worship.
Really?
It's on the Thirsty record, yeah. It's on the Thirsty record. And the words that say, go find your place of worship, look into your pain, and find your praise. Every low place in your life prepared you for your high place, and every tear you cried, it was water for the garden of your victory. Even though you're in the valley, victory comes through adversity, so go find your place of worship. So that's the whole song.
Okay.
And that is my favorite song that I've ever recorded out of the 11 albums that I recorded. Now, I know people love Never Would Have Made It, and honestly, the only reason why they heard that song is because of Melinda, my late wife. Because I, personally, when it happened at my church, and it was just really just a moment, I had no intentions of recording it. You know, my intentions was never to record that song. My intentions was just to, you know, God gave it to me the Sunday after my father passed away. My personal goal was just to keep it for me. And Melinda kept nagging me up until the day of the recording to record this song. And I just tagged it with another, I put it at the end of a medley of songs that I was recording. It's like, go find your place of worship, in the garden, and then what Strength Never Would Have Made It. And millions of sales later, I'm really thankful that I listened to that nagging woman of mine. Because, you know, it's an iconic song. And I never thought something, honestly, so simple would have such impact. But it's biblical, honestly, because the Bible says that, you know, it's the foolish things that confound the wise. And I was like, you know, I thought that I would have to have something that was going to be very, very strong lyrically in order for it to have the type of impact that it would have. But, you know, Never Would Have Made It. Simply Never Would Have, Never Could Have, Stronger, Wiser, Better. That's the whole song.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
And, it's amazing. It's amazing to me. And let me tell you what's really amazing to me about that song. The people in the hip-hop industry that have embraced it and actually sample it. Like, you know, like last year, for example, I received a call from DJ Khaled and Chance the Rapper. And they had sampled Never Would Have Made It and put it in a song on DJ Khaled's record called I Love You So Much, which was about his son. You know, and both of them were singing about their children. And then this year, Teyana Taylor actually took it, and you know, Kanye West actually sampled it and used it as a song on her record. And honestly, just recently, even Lil Wayne contacted me, and it's a part of the Carter Five record. So I appreciate the fact that God has given me the type of reach and the type of impact to be able to touch individuals that, you know, most people think that the church would never touch, that I can still maintain my standard of who I am as an individual, but to know I have the type of impact and know what I've sung has made a difference in the lives of people like DJ Khaled and Chance the Rapper and Kanye West and Teyana Taylor and, you know, Lil Wayne. It's humbling.
What's been the most challenging? You're mentioning those things. What's been most challenging about being in the business of gospel? And was there ever time you wanted to give it up and go do something else?
No, you know what? I've never wanted to give it up. Story, but when I was 10 years old, my mother made me choose at 10. You know, she said, Marvin, you can just sing gospel or you can sing secular, but you can't do both. And I chose at 10 years old. I'd already been traveling and stuff in our region. So I chose at 10 years old that I want to do gospel music. And, you know, I never turned back. I've never had a passion to sing anything other than what I've been singing for since I was a little bitty boy. So I think you know, from the standpoint of doing it for a living, you know, I never thought about that. I never thought that 30 years later that I would still be around and yet still be relevant. Never in my wildest imagination did I think that. But, you know, I wouldn't trade my journey for anything. You know, I appreciate the fact that, you know, never would have made it when it hit. You know, I had already been in the industry 18 years. You know, at that point, before I got my first hit, somebody asked me a question. They said, well, how do you feel about having this crossover hit? And I told them, I said, well, I'm just grateful that God gave it to me when I was old enough to handle it. Because I kind of feel like if he'd have gave it to me any sooner, it probably went to my head. But, you know, I was at an age where I could deal with it. So I've enjoyed my journey, and I wouldn't trade it. I mean, like, by God, I mean, you know, a lot of gospel artists, you know, they'll never be able to do what I've done. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to do it, and I'm only 51 years old. So, you know, millions of sales, you know, every award being nominated, or, you know, the only award that I don't have is a Grammy, but BET, Soul Train, everything. I mean, you know, Stella, Dove.
Yeah, you just won a Dove Award, right?
Yeah, I just won a Dove Award this year. I just won a Dove Award, and I've got, like, I won, like, 24 or 26 Stella Awards and 2 BET Awards and 2 Soul Train Music Awards. So, I mean, I've had a great, great, great career. So I don't think I would change anything. Matter of fact, I know I wouldn't.
Speaking of your music, you say you wouldn't change anything. Now you have this album out called Close. And then, like we said earlier, the single is Listen. It's number 5 on the Billboard chart. And I will tell you a little personal thing about me. That song, I got the album, you know, months ago, and I listened to it. And I had a 19-year-old nephew, and I was letting him listen to it. Now, shortly after that, a month or two later, he was murdered. But we listened to that song, and it resonated, and it meant something to him. His name was Kendrick Woods, and I just wanted to share that with you, that it did, it resonated with me as well. And sometimes it's kind of hard sometimes for me to listen to, because I remember that's one of the last songs that we listened to together. But I thank you for that album and for that song.
You know, what you just did is what keeps me doing what I do. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of people think it's not about the record sales, not about the accolades, not about the awards, nominations. It's about hearing testimonies of people who tell you that what you have done is resonated and it made an impact. And, you know, you planted a seed. And to me, you know, that's our assignment. That's what it's supposed to be about, especially in this gospel music industry. You know, it's about getting a message to a really messed up age. You know, I just want to say thank you, because that's the fuel that keeps me doing what I do.
Well, you're welcome, and I appreciate you. Now, before we go, Bishop, what do you have that's coming up that you want your fans to know about, and what's your hope for this new music that you have out?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm always doing things. I'm always, you know, trying to figure out new ways to remain current. So, I mean, you know, just and to remain, you know, relevant in this 21st century age. So prayerfully, hopefully, we can do some television stuff. I received calls about, you know, doing some biopics and things of that nature. Last year, I was on, you know, Unsung, and that really opened the eyes of a lot of different individuals who, you know, wanted to talk about doing my life story. And even as we speak now, Commissioned is in the process of, they're doing a movie on us, a biopic. The same writers, I believe, that worked on the Bobby Brown story are some of the same people that's working with the different members of Commission in order to put out this biopic about how Commission came about and grew and the impact they had on R&B music. Because a lot of people don't know, you know, the people that they're listening to now, like the Tanks and the Tyreeses and the 112s and the Jodeci's and those guys, you know, even knew it, Boyz II Men. Those guys, you know, they literally grew up listening to us and, you know, just adopted our sound and used it, you know, in the R&B hip-hop world. So, you know, they're going to be a part of the movie as well. So that's one of the things. And then I'm also looking forward to recording again in 2019. I think I'm going to keep it churchy but funky like always.
Keep it churchy but funky. That's good. All right. Now, Bishop, how can fans find you on social media? Because I just got something from you on from Twitter a while back because you're one of my Twitter friends.
It's very simple. They can find me on official Marvin Sapp page on Facebook. Tell them to make sure they see that it's 2.3 million people that's following me first. And then they can follow me also at Marvin Sapp on Twitter or Instagram. And if it's not at least 500,000 or more people, it's not me. And they need to look for the blue check as well, because a lot of times people have been getting duped, especially women, for some strange reason. You know, they think they're communicating directly with me, and they're sending money to orphanages and all kind of stuff. And the reality is that it's just being played by somebody from Africa that's taking all their money. But, and I get tons of phone calls, believe it or not, at my church on a consistent basis about people who have been taken advantage of. So I think we do need to educate people about what to look for when you are connecting with, you know, somebody that may be a celebrity, quote unquote, in social media.
Thank you so much.
And audience, thank you once again for joining us today, especially for this vintage episode with Bishop Marvin Sapp. Make sure that you subscribe right now so that you never ever miss an episode of this uplifting and encouraging show. You can also download for free. Now, if you'd like to reach me, Lynn Woods, you can find me on Twitter. That's at Lynn Woods, LINWOODS, or Instagram at Lynn Woods 96. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. God bless.
I know you don't want to hear it. Gotta fast and pray and listen to the Spirit.
I'm trying to tell you something.
He's speaking to your heart right.
I'm trying to tell you something.
Just listen to the Spirit. Oh.
I'm trying to tell you something.